The word today is Ephesus. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible Teacher Douglas Schrader. In the book of Revelation, the resurrected Lord Jesus spoke to the church in Ephesus. This church knew their theology and how to live as Christians, but they were slipping in their zeal. That's easy to do. It takes commitment and a strong desire to stay close to the Lord Jesus. When we lapse in our love for God, it is time for recommitment. Here with more on this early church and its lesson for our lives is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Ephesus.
Every church, that is, a group of people who come together in order to worship and serve Jesus Christ, has its own personality. We learn this from the New Testament, where the apostles wrote to the different churches, the different groups of Christians, and told them various principles about how to live and addressed some of the problems that were happening in those churches. We also learn a lot about the different personalities of churches from Jesus' comments to the seven churches in Asia Minor. This was a region of the ancient world where the gospel had gone in the decades beforehand and had reached individuals. And Jesus, the resurrected Lord, has a message for each of these seven churches. We're going to take a look at one of those messages that Christ had for those churches, and this one was in a place called Ephesus. It is in chapter 2, starting at verse 1 of the book of Revelation. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, now I should pause for a second and tell you that Christ was giving directions to John, who was in the Spirit in the Lord's day, and he is given directions to write down the message that was supposed to go to the angel of the church. We think that that was symbolic for the leader of the church. So let's start that again. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds and your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now, there's several things here that are symbolic and that are unusual to us. Like, for instance, there is a mention of a group called the Nicolaitans. And we believe that this was a group of individuals that were following a man named Nicholas. And he was teaching them false teachings. He was taking from what was Christian and he was turning it and perverting it. And he was bringing in what we call works righteousness, an effort to obtain God's favor based on trying to be good to earn his favor. And we also were seeing that there is a consistency with the seven groups, the seven letters that Jesus discusses, that there was a great temptation to sexual sin. And there was immorality being practiced as though this could be integrated with religiosity, with faith. And this was a real perversion of the gospel of Jesus. And so this is condemned in those seven letters to the churches. There are also other things in this letter, like a mention of a golden lampstand. In brief, that would stand for the presence of the Holy Spirit in those churches, the presence of God in those churches. And so Jesus is discussing with them the necessity to repent and change in order that they don't lose his favor. We'll get to that more in just a moment. But something about interpreting the book of Revelation is that you cannot take it literally. You do not want to try to read the book of Revelation as though it is going to be true exactly as it says. These are visions. These are fantastic images that were shown to John, and they are symbolic. They are not intended to be literal. Like, for instance, there is a mighty, horrible beast that is described. Some people mistakenly think that this is going to happen physically, literally. No, not in the least. This is most likely describing the great, horrible Roman Empire that was threatening the early Christians. And you need to understand that is how you interpret the book of Revelations. You will get way off track if you try to look at this and find literal fulfillment of this in physical and personal ways. It's meant to be a general book of comfort and reassurance using picture imagery. I sometimes think of it like a series of videos like a person might see on YouTube, and one flashes after the other, and that's kind of how the visions in Revelation go. And they're not meant to be taken literally. They are to express literal spiritual truths, but not enacted physically, literally. That hopefully will help you when you understand and read the book of Revelation. Another thing about the book of Revelation are the songs. While all this chaos and commotion is happening on earth, up in heaven, there are songs that are being sung, powerful chants, and songs of victory to Christ, because the process, the progress toward the end, toward Christ's eternal reign coming to its fulfillment, is going to happen and is proceeding regardless of wickedness of humans, regardless of Satan and the demons' attempts to thwart it. Christ is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his kingdom will come no matter what. So the songs that are being sung are very encouraging. Let's get back to Ephesus. This church had some good things about it. They had Jesus as their Lord, and notice they still loved the Lord Jesus. They were a persevering church. Sounds like they had a lot of persecution, a lot of trials that they had gone under. The danger there is that can make a person weary. It can wear you out. It can be such a struggle day after day. A person can grow tired of this, and they just want relief. And Jesus tells them how pleased he is for enduring the hardships. And notice also that they tested the teachings of people. In verse 3, it says that they cannot tolerate wicked men, and they have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not. Don't accept any and every teaching that claims that it's in agreement with the Bible. You need to analyze it. You need to judge it, whether it truly is in accord with the Word of God. Let's not be naive and just receive anything that someone says as though it's on the authority of Jesus Christ. We are supposed to examine the scriptures and see what they teach us and to take truth from that. If it doesn't match with what the Word of God says, we need to be very cautious and sometimes absolutely reject it. Now, the other thing that Jesus does is he also points out the sins of the congregation. And in fact, he even levels a threat. We don't normally think of Jesus issuing threats to churches, But if a person or a congregation doesn't repent of their sin, they won't receive acceptance and forgiveness of Christ. Jesus says something about this group of people. You have forsaken your first love. It can be easy over time to lose our initiative. We can somehow get weak, and lack of commitment can set in. And Jesus is saying that they are to renew their fervency for him, their zeal for him. This reminds me of the great examples for us in the scriptures, the people that we want to emulate, like Joseph and David and Moses. These were people of great zeal, of great fervency for God. These are individuals that wanted to know God, and they had their struggles, but they deep in their heart wanted to commune with God and to love him and to grow close to him. It's easy to lose that emphasis if your life gets too easy. You start to think that you are self-sufficient or that you don't need to go to God so often. And that's why God will sometimes allow persecutions and trials to come to remind us how much we need him. Jesus says that to he who overcomes, he is going to give the right to eat from the tree of life. You notice that's a reference back to Genesis and back to the Garden of Eden. God wishes for you and all the people that are listening to this program to be able to eat from the tree of life. I want you to renew your zeal for the Lord Jesus. Take the admonition of Christ and come back close to him. Come back to your first love for the Lord. Don't let your love fail or falter, but keep your zeal and pray to the Lord that he rekindles this fire of devotion in you. And also watch out for the false teachers and the false prophets. Go to the Word of God, study it and learn it so that you will be secure. Great examples for us from the church in Ephesus, how to draw close to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive security in our salvation.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.